I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for the next big thing. A masterful novel-turned-television miniseries is coming to the stage as a musical. A series of misfortunes, wrong turns, and hard choices leads a group of black women to come together in a place of desperation and dead ends. There, they don't just find hope, they create it and build a new sense of respect for themselves and each other. That's the story of The Women of Brewster Place, Gloria Naylor's debut novel about African-American women who rise above societies and often their own expectations. It won a National Book Award after it was published in 1982. It's since become a classic of contemporary American literature. Now the story has been adapted into a musical. The Women of Brewster Place had an early run at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta. It is set to debut at the Arena Stage here in Washington. That's where we are right now to speak about the play with Molly Smith. She is the artistic director of Arena Stage, and she's directing The Women of Brewster Place. Also with us is actress Tina Fabrique. She plays the lead character, Maddie Michael. Thank you both for speaking with us.
Oh, it's great to be here today.
Thank you. It's great. Thanks for having me.
Molly, what led you and the Arena Stage to take on The Women of Brewster Place as a musical, of all things?
About a year and a half ago, I spoke to our senior dramaturg, Mark Bly. And I said, Mark, I'm really hankering to direct the premiere of a new musical. And one day he walked into my office and he threw a CD on my desk and he said, this is Tim Aceto. He's done an adaptation of The Women of Brewster Place and he's doing it all. He's doing the lyrics, he's composing the music, and he's writing the book. And for some reason, I wandered over to my CD player and right away put it in, and I was really knocked out by the music. And any time that happens in the middle of a hard day, I pay attention. So that weekend, we were driving up to the shore, and our way driving to the shore, I just kept playing his music and listening to it, and I realized, my God, this is something that we need to do. So we called Tim Aceto on the phone in New York and asked him if he'd come down that week and play the rest of the score for me. And in the middle of his playing the score, down on a piano in the old vat room at Arena Stage, I turned to him and said, do you want to premiere it here? And I think he was a little blown away because usually that takes years and years and years of time and workshops. And he said, yeah, I would.
Tina Fabrique, what spoke to you about the character of Maddie Michael? Tell me who she is and why you wanted to play her.
Well, first of all, I grew up in the projects in Harlem, and I knew of that particular lifestyle, I guess you might call it, or surrounding that you grow up in. And I also know that as I grew up, in the 60s, 50s, you didn't really know that you were poor. You know, all you knew is that you didn't have a lot of money, but everybody in that community pulled together, and they all got in on raising everybody's kids. So that kind of project idea really appealed to me as I read the book.
Sense of community.
Yeah, the sense of community. And Maddie, I knew lots of Maddies. You know, unfortunately, in some ways, my mother was a Maddie, very much so. And so I identify very much with that heaviness of carrying the world on her shoulders.
Maddie has been through a lot.
I mean,
she's forced to leave home as a young unwed mother. She has a son who she's given up a very great deal for of her spirit and of her youth, and she sort of poured it into him and hasn't really repaid her.
She actually walked away.
Walked away. I mean,
And left her to lose what she did gain at the time.
You could look at that at a distance and say, this is kind of a pitiful woman.
You could. But the thing about it is that there's a fiber to her that is supported by her faith in God. And I think that faith in God keeps lifting her, even though she herself as a human being is being pulled down. The fiber of faith that supports her just keeps pulling her up and keeping her hopeful.
And that's what you liked about the character?
Yeah, I like that about her. I like the many layers to her. I liked her relationship with someone like an Etta Mae, who is her best friend, and how Etta is totally the opposite of her. I mean, she is just wild and out there with the short minis at our age, per se. But she is the person that keeps coming back to Brewster Place, and they have this long relationship since the days of high school.
But how do you keep Maddie from becoming pathetic?
It's hard. It's hard playing a somber woman in a musical. That's the first thing. And Molly just made me aware of that when we were working on. She said, you know, this isn't easy. This is a challenge. And I've always played strong women, but they were usually holy, or they were usually angry. There was something that was just pitching them forward. This, with Maddie, is a somberness. And you have to make that other stuff shine through in every scene. And it's not easy, but you find those threads that connect her to those people, like Lucilia, her niece, and Serena, her little godniece. I mean, all of these things that she's involved with bring a thread through her, even though she doesn't run around, you know, smiling about everything. She's somber, but somewhere there's a deep warmth that connects her to these people.
Molly, I want to pick up on this. I don't know if you remember this or not, but as you know, The Women of Brewster Place was a sensation when it was published in 1982. It was Gloria Naylor's first novel,
yes.
Won this major award. But it also appeared at a time when there are a number of novels exploring the Black experience from the woman's perspective. A lot of people thought it was a bit too much. And I don't know if you remember this, but people criticized the novel for trafficking
right.
in stereotypes about the Black community, about Black women. Mm-hmm. Black women is the victim, the men are dogs. And I just would like to know how you think about that, particularly as a person who's not of color.
That's right.
And how you think about making these characters as complex as I think people would like them to be.
That's right. First of all, I think the women in Brewster Place are fierce. They're all fierce. And every single one of them wants to move out of where they are. They want to move out of poverty. And as a white woman coming at the material and working with these extraordinary women who are 10 of the greatest African-American female performers we have in the American theater, is that my job has really been to listen to them. At one point I said to the actors, let me have an inside peek because I don't know your experience. I'm living a whole other experience. I'm female, but I'm white.
Talk to yourselves and let me listen.
Exactly. And that's exactly what's happened. We get into discussions. We get into arguments. They'll say, oh, my God, it was that way in my family. And other people say, no, 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 it would never be that way in 1975. And so that's how we drive into the authenticity of what we're presenting.
But what about the male bashing criticism?
Well, Tim Aceto has done something fascinating with this musical. There are no males played on stage except through shadows. And so what the audience will see and feel is the women and their response to the men. But really the story of it has much more to do with the women from solo perspectives who come together as a community. And I think that that helps really change the perspective of it because you see the women in relationship to the men, but that's not the whole story. It's much more in relationship to each other.
If you're just joining us, we're at Washington's Arena Stage talking about the new musical version of Gloria Naylor's classic, The Women of Brewster Place. With us are actress Tina Fabrique and director Molly Smith. Molly, the other challenge, of course, is that this novel has been adapted before.
That's right.
As a made-for-TV movie, won some Emmys, some high-profile people playing some of these characters. And of course, anytime you adapt a book that is well-known and much loved by an audience, are you worried at all that people's expectations of it will be that it's somehow that you're just kind of doing a line reading, not an interpretation, and that you can't live up to people's expectations of having this book that they've carried around for 20 years?
I think the beauty of what Tim Aceto has done and what the women on stage have done is it's a musical. So Tim often talks about how this novel sings, and that's how you know if something can be adapted as a musical. So the music takes it to a whole other level. There are 26 songs within this. It's almost a sung-through musical. And it's music you'd hear if you turned on the radio in 75, everything from funk,
toughen up, she's always said,
to R&B, to disco, to gospel music.
But I know you must hear.
We know you hear.
Everyone's called.
Life is so large, but my own is so small. You've got so much to tend to, a whole world to cue. You haven't forgotten us, we know, but just to be sure.
It is this breadth, this range that is really dynamic. And I think because of that, the novel is playing at a whole different level in this production. I would feel the way that you do if we were just doing a staged adaptation. But doing it as a musical takes it to a whole other form.
And about the musical, there's some very tough material in this play, in this book. I mean, you've got the issues of rape are explored. There's
yes.
the issue of a death
yes.
of a child explored. Is that now? Obviously, you're following on the fact that you know The Color Purple has since been adapted into a musical on Broadway. It's very successful. But is there any anxiety about having a musical treatment of such serious matters?
As one of the people who are singing nine of the songs, I would say that what the music does for this is take the story, say 10 steps further in each song. You know, you get storyline developed within the song. You get relationships developed during a song, and it doesn't shy away from anything.
Do you have a favorite song?
Well, I won't say favorite, but I do love This Ain't a Prayer. And this is just me and God having it out about stuff that's happened, and I don't understand why it's happened that way. Maddie just doesn't understand why we are being punished this way. Now, we've had this relationship, Lord, for an awfully long time, but right now, I don't get it. Why are you doing this? You know, and so she has really gone into a battle with the Lord.
Now I see why she won't let herself cry. It's not to be strong to live, but to let herself die. She won't sleep, she won't eat. There's nothing left but a shell. Her child's now gone and she wants to follow as well. But I say no, merciful Father, she can't go. And I'm not asking you this time, I'm telling you no.
And what about that other godlike figure in our society, Oprah, who played your character, Maddie, in one of the previous adaptations? Mm-hmm. Is that a little daunting to
I'll be honest with you. I love Oprah. I've been a big fan of hers from the very, very beginning. And I was blessed to meet her when I was doing a show called Abyssinia here. And I played Mother Vera. And she came and told me how much she loved what I was doing. And I feel like I'm playing Ella Fitzgerald after this show. So if you talk about daunting, that's daunting. And when I was asked to do it, it wasn't something I went after. It kind of came to me, so it was supposed to be. So that's how I look at a lot of things in this business. If you get a wonderful project, somehow the Lord has that for you to do. And if you just give yourself up to it, open up to it, and be it, it'll be fine.
And you can't sit there and think about what
no,
other people
you can't.
May have in their mind. You
have oh,
to
no,
bring
I
your,
never, I never
your
do
story
that.
To them.
I've been doing this too long, 35 years.
You started when you were a fetus.
That's so sweet. I got grandchildren and children and stuff and things. You know, I've been busy.
Okay, I said you are. But speaking of telling people stories, Molly Smith, under your leadership, the Arena Stage in Washington has staged many works by African-American authors and has staged many productions that are, I would argue, are of particular interest to an African-American audience. Do you feel called to do that because you are in Washington, or do these stories speak to you?
When I came to the Arena Stage, and I'm now in the middle of my ninth season, so it's my 10th year here at Arena, I was very interested in reflecting the life of the entire city. And I think the way one reflects the life of a city is through the material of the city. And so that immediately drew us to many African-American projects, and that has been something that has been one of the most powerful pieces, I think, of my time here in Washington, D.C., is to be able to really develop an African-American audience. Almost a third of our audience now is African-American, and I think that that's a real testament to the work on stage. And I feel privileged to have this opportunity to be able to direct this incredible theater piece. And I feel called to it.
What do you hope audiences will take away from The Women of Brewster Place?
I hope audiences will take away the power of pulling together as a community. Poverty is something that sits right next to Arena Stage. It's the first time in the 9.5 years that I've been here that we've presented a work that is about poverty. And that's something that's very important to me. And I think a project like the Women of Brewster Place, we're sitting next to the projects, and we need to be presenting material about this.
Tina Fabrique, finally to you, what has being part of this production meant to you?
It's meant a lot of things. I think the first thing that I have to say is that I was approached about doing one of the workshops that were done in the early stages, and I was doing Ella at the time, so I wasn't available. So since this has come about, I get another opportunity to be a part of this wonderful cast. Many of the people in the cast, for one thing, are people that I did my first show with. Terry Burrell, who plays Mrs. Brown, I came into Bubbling Brown Sugar with her in 1976. And Billy McDaniels, our music director, it was his first show with Bubbling, and it was my first show with him. And so there's a history there of a lot of people that I've had a development in the business with, development in theater with. Of course, I've worked with and for Molly Smith for years and never been directed by her before. So that's another thing that it really has a very strong connection to. I consider Arena Stage my second home.
Do you ever get on each other's nerves?
Not really. I don't think so. Have I gotten on your nerves, girl?
No.
No. You know, the funny thing is we have 10 women in the cast, and you would be really amazed at how well we get along. We really get along well. Fantastic. It's really like a sister thing, you know. And since I'm the oldest sister, I get to sit back and say, oh, that's great. You know, it's a wonderful feeling because it's real. It's organic. Nobody's manufacturing anything. We know we are different people from each other. Nobody's trying to blend in and be like anybody else. We accept you for who you are and where you are. And I think that's the thing that makes it so spectacular when you work with people like that.
Mm-hmm. Tina Fabrique stars as Maddie Michael in the Arena Stage production of The Women of Brewster Place. Molly Smith is the artistic director for Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. She's directing the musical adaptation of The Women of Brewster Place. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Women of Brewster Place starts preview performances at the Arena Stage in Washington tomorrow. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.